Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Hosanna. I am so glad to be with you, whether you're in this room or our friends at Shakopee or online. It is good to be together. Welcome. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Julia Holtz, and I'm known around here as a spiritual formation pastor. But that's only one of my names. I have many different things that I'm called. If you go to my house, I have two beautiful young adult daughters who call me Mom. I have my husband who calls me Julia, but he says it in a way that still makes me smile. If you see me down at Minnesota Adult and Teen Challenge, like I was yesterday, I walk in and I'm known as, oh, Alex's aunt is here. My nephew Alex is about to graduate from the program, and I'm so proud of him. I'm thrilled with that name. Some of my nieces and nephews also call me Aunt Jolly. I'm the jolly aunt that they all know. The Rosemount High School drum line calls me Petra's mom. It's got kind of a rhythm to it, and they use it to keep their cadence going. Or I'm known as Mama Holtz. Very endearing names for me. And then there's a name that's a dead giveaway that someone doesn't have a clue who I am. See if you can recognize this. Hello, Mrs. Holtzy. How are you today? Yes, that's the salesperson. There is a benefit to having a silent E at the end of your name. You know right away. Now, why am I saying this? Names matter. Names tell you something about who the person is. They also tell you about the relationship you have with the person who's calling you by that name. Names can also come to mean something bigger than who the person is. I want to give you a little quiz. I'm going to say some names, and I'd like you to say out loud to one another what this name triggers in you. You too, Shakopee, I'm talking to you as well. So when I say the name Michael Jordan, what do you think of? Basketball, right? The NBA. Michael is one of the all-known best basketball players ever to have lived, and so you immediately trigger and think of basketball when you hear his name. How about this name? This is one that maybe not everybody knows, but it has come to have a lot of meaning. Misty Copeland. Misty Copeland. Do any of you know that name? Oh, some of you do. Okay. Misty Copeland is one of my heroes. She is a young woman who is a premier ballerina right now. She has overcome obstacles. She is an African-American who has crashed through some ceilings that needed to be crashed through. And her name alone is an inspiration to me, and I hope it will become to you, of someone who's an overcomer to rise up and become who she was created to be. Misty Copeland. Okay, now, not all names give good feelings. What do you think of when I say the name Hitler? Ooh, just kind of a groan. Yeah, that's not a good feeling. Not all names mean something positive. You don't hear many children named Adolf Hitler these days because it's not a positive one. But let's end on a positive one. How about if I say to you the name Einstein? Genius, smart, brilliant. If somebody says you're an Einstein, it doesn't mean you look like this man, thank the Lord. It means that you are smart, you're intelligent. See, names mean something. They matter, and they can mean something bigger than just the letters attached to a person. So why are we talking about this? Because today, we're going to take a look at the third commandment that talks about the Lord's name and what it means. For those of you who might be just joining us this summer, we are in the middle of a series on the Ten Commandments. I am loving it. It is not looking at the Ten Commandments as a bunch of rules. It is a field guide to real life. You've been hearing that these commandments were given by God to the people of Israel right after he rescued them from Egypt, and he was showing them, this is what it looks like to be free. You were slaves, now learn to be free. This is what it looks like. This is what is needed. This is the foundation to be in a relationship with me. And so we have been looking the last 2 weeks at the first two commandments. They go hand in hand, basically saying God needs to be center stage and he is to be worshiped above all other things. Only he is to be worshiped. If you haven't seen them, I encourage you to go take a look at those online because they are powerful messages. But today we're going to look at the third commandment. We're going to be in the book of Exodus if you have your Bibles. Ushers, you can bring Bibles forward. If you don't have one, you can borrow one or even take one home if you'd like, if you don't have one at home. But we're going to look at the third commandment, and it says this. We have this in the New King James Version because I think for most of us, this is what we grew up hearing if we knew the commandments. It says this, "You shall not take the Lord's name in vain." You shall not take the Lord's name in vain. I don't know about you, but I thought when I was young that I had this one all figured out. I grew up in a house where we did not say God or Jesus Christ unless we were praying or worshiping. We said gosh or we said jeepers. Anybody else grow up in a house like that? You were not allowed to say those words. And so I thought, I've got this one. I know how not to take the Lord's name in vain. I just make sure if I stub my toe, I say gosh or jeepers, and then I'm fine. I have to ask you, do you think this is really what this is about? What this commandment is about? Now, don't get me wrong. I think our words are very important. I do cringe when I hear those words spoken harshly, mostly because of how I was raised. It doesn't feel reverent to me. And I also think our words impact how people hear and see things. Have you heard the story about the little boy who heard the Christmas story for the first time and looked at his parents and said, "Why did they name the baby after a swear word?" So our words do matter. But do you think that's all this commandment was about? Do you think that as God was laying out 10 commandments, 10 vows, we've been calling them, using a wedding imagery of being in this relationship, 10 foundations, and he'd say, now, when you hit your thumb with a hammer, you can say anything you want, just don't say my name. I don't think so. I think he means something far deeper than this. And I will tell you, I have been studying this, and it is just getting deeper and deeper in my soul. And so what I want to do today is we're going to take a deep dive into this commandment. We're going to take a look at some of the Hebrew, original Hebrew meanings of the words. We're going to look at them individually, then pull them together. And then we're going to see what was God saying to the people of Israel, and what is he saying to us today? And I want to ask you something. Will you not just ponder this for the next half hour or so that I'm teaching? Will you think about this week? Will you chew on this? See, it is so common for us to take these commandments and God's word and just dance at the shallow end of the pool. But if we sit with God, if we meditate on these, if we study them, it takes it deeper and deeper. And I will tell you, it leads us to real life. So let's take a look at what this commandment really means. We're going to look at three words. You shall not take the Lord's name in vain. We're going to look at the word take in Hebrew, Lord in Hebrew, and in vain in Hebrew. And then we're going to pull it together. So let's start with that word take. The word take in Hebrew is nasah. And it means to carry, to bear, to lift up. See, what God was saying to the people of Israel was he was giving them a choice. If you look in Exodus 19, I'm not going to turn to it now, but you can look at it in Exodus 19. He was giving them a choice. He was saying, if you choose to follow these commandments, then you will be my special people. You will be my treasured possession. You will be the ones that I reveal who I am to, and then you can go out into the world and show the world who I am. But it's your choice. And if you choose to do this, then you are taking my name as your own. You are carrying my name. You are taking my name as part of your identity, as your identity of the people of God. Maybe the best way I can give some weight to this is to, again, use that wedding imagery. 30 years ago, when I married my husband, John, I chose to give up the name Hunky and take the name Holtz. Now, some of you are thinking that wasn't a very difficult decision, aren't you? There's a lot less that rhymes with Holtz than hunky. Let's just say that. Now, even though I don't carry the name hunky, I do still have hunky in me. I'm proud of the hunkies. Anyway, back to Holtz. That's what we're talking about. So 30 years ago, when I said my vows to John, I chose to take his name as my identity. And I carry that everywhere I go. I am known as Julia Holtz. One of the most tender, meaningful moments of my life happened just a couple years ago. I was sitting with my father-in-law. It was just weeks before he passed. He knew his time was coming to a close. And it was just the two of us. And he looked at me and he gave this crooked smile and he said, "You know, Julia, we did pretty good when we got you as a Holtz. We did pretty good when we got you as a Holtz." I'll never forget it. I knew what he was telling me. He was saying, "You carried my name well. You represented the Holtz name well, Julia. You're part of our family. You're part of something bigger. You became part of us. Well done. We're glad you're a Holtz." This is what God was saying to the people of Israel. If you are choosing to be my people, to be in a relationship with me, to be in a covenant relationship with me, then you carry my name. It becomes your identity, and you carry it everywhere you go. It's a bigger meaning than just taking. We carry it, we wear it. That's what that means in the Hebrew. Now, let's look at this word Lord. What his name means. The word for Lord in Hebrew is Yahweh. Yahweh. A very holy name. Some believe it's not even a word, that it's a breath. It's like this. Yahweh. Can you all do that? Yahweh. That he is the source of the very breath we breathe. And his name means so much. Let's take a look at Exodus 3 when Yahweh is first spoken. Exodus 3, here's what's happening. Moses is at the burning bush. This is before the Israelites have been rescued from Egypt. And the burning bush is where the Lord's presence was. And Moses is there, and God is speaking to him and telling him, "Moses, you're the one I'm going to send to be my tool to deliver the people from slavery." Moses is full of questions, but he says to God, he says, "If I go to them and say that the God of your ancestors has sent me, they will say, 'What is his name?'" See, in Egypt, the names of gods were very important. If you knew those names, you knew about their power, you knew about who they were, you knew their character, and you could even manipulate them if you knew their name. So he knew they would say, "What's the name of your God?" Here's how God responds. This is verse 14. It says, "God replied to Moses, 'I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you.' God also said to Moses, 'Say this to the people of Israel, Yahweh, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my eternal name, my name to remember for all generations.'" Wow. This is a name that represents so much. I am who I am. Some versions say, "I will be who I will be." Yahweh. I want to tell you, there are so many things that this word, this name represents, but I'm going to give you three today so you can get an idea of what God was saying. God was saying, "I am, I have power that is limitless. I am able to do anything just because of who I am. I have a power that is beyond anything you've ever known." Not like the gods in Egypt that had power that came and went and was used to oppress people. No, this is a power that is limitless, that is used to restore the world, to bring goodness into the world. I am Yahweh. I have power that is limitless. It also describes his authority. That this is a God who has always been, he is, and he always will be. That he is the only being in all of existence that is not dependent on anything else for who he is. That this is a God that has authority over everything, over heaven and earth, over the universe. He is over all. He created all. He is an amazing God who has authority over all. That's what his name means. And then lastly, his name describes his character. That this is a God who has been faithful to all generations and will be faithful. This is a God who is holy. Who is holy and perfect. This is a God who is good. And Moses was discovering this is a God who is personal and loving. This describes his character. See, God's name is holy. In fact, it's so holy that by the time Jesus came, the rabbis would not even say the name Yahweh because they were so afraid of breaking this covenant. They were so afraid. They would not even utter it. If they were writing the what we know of the Old Testament, the stories, and they got to the word Yahweh, they would take their pen, they would lay it down, they would pick up another pen specifically for the word Yahweh, and they would write it only with that. It was so holy. This is who this God of Israel is. This is what he was saying to the people. And I was thinking about this as I was preparing for this. And at Hosanna, we talk so much about God's love. I'm guilty of it. I think I say it every time I preach that God loves you because I just think we need to know that. Maybe somebody needs to hear that today. God loves you. But if all we do is talk about his love, we can turn God into a soft, big teddy bear. And sometimes we need to step back and we need to get in awe of this awesome God again. We need to recognize his power is beyond anything we can ever imagine. That his authority, he has authority over all of the world. And that he has a character that is holy and faithful and good. Because as we begin to see that part of God, then his love becomes that much more meaningful to us. This is what the name of the Lord meant. And God was telling the people of Israel, if you're in a relationship with me, you're carrying my name. Okay, now let's look at the last word in the Hebrew. Remember, it was the word in vain, and it's lashav. Lashav in Hebrew. And it means to treat as meaningless, worthless, of no value, empty. So put this all together. And God was saying, if you are choosing to be my people, then you carry my name. And do not take my name in vain. Do not treat it like it's meaningless. Do not associate my name with things I would not be associated with. Do not use my name, misuse my name for your own gain like the gods in Egypt were used. Do not represent me. You are my ambassadors. Do not represent me in a way that makes me meaningless. Wow. That's a little deeper than when you stub your toe, just make sure you say gosh. This is not just about our tongue. This is about our heart. This is about our lives and how they represent God. So what does this have to do with us today? Christianity is not a religion with rules. It is about a relationship. A relationship with Jesus Christ, the name above all names, it says in Philippians 2. The name that at which that name every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. This is about a relationship with a God of authority, of power, of character that is second to none. And that God is calling us not into a casual relationship, but into a deep, personal relationship where we take the name of Jesus as our own and we carry it everywhere we go. That's what this means. So I want to ask you, if you are a follower of Jesus, what does your life say about Jesus? What does your life say? Because, you know, we've got a bullhorn on the front of here. And a bullhorn can be used for good. It can be used to amplify something. And so we're saying, what does your life amplify about who Jesus Christ is? Now, bullhorns can also be obnoxious. So I am not saying in your face loud. I am asking, does your life look like Jesus? Because hear this, the most significant way we can take the Lord's name in vain is to say we are followers of Jesus and not live like Jesus. Oh, I gotta say that again. The most significant way we take the Lord's name in vain is to say we are followers of Jesus and not live like Jesus. We are taking his name as our own. Jesus lived a life that lived out the commandments perfectly. He said that he came to fulfill the commandments. And so he lived out this third commandment perfectly. He walked as a man in authority, in power, in character. And he walked in humility, always pointing people to God the Father. Not my will, God, but yours be done. And he taught us to pray that. Thy will be done. He had an intimate relationship with the Father. And he walked, and everywhere he went, he wasn't in their faces. He was just bringing them the good news of the kingdom of God, and he was inviting people, and he was showing them that he loved them, and he was lifting them up. Who did Jesus get angry at? Jesus got angry at the religious leaders, the ones who would not say Yahweh out loud because they were so afraid of making this commandment, but they were also the ones who allowed the money changers in the temple and the people to sell sacrificial animals to the people who were vulnerable, who were poor, who were coming to worship God. They were using God's name for their own gain. They were manipulating and using God's name. And Jesus came in. He started knocking over tables. He started driving out the money changers. And he was so angry because he said, look at what you're doing to my Father's name. Look what you're doing to the house of God. You're missing the point. This isn't about not saying Yahweh. This is that you are representing God and you're showing God in a way he would never be attributed to. What is your life? If you're a follower of Jesus, what does your life say? How do you carry the name of Jesus? I want to give you today three words if you are serious about this. If these commandments, if you want to discover real life, I want to give you three words today that you can begin to apply every single day of your life. These are not just a one-time thing. And if we apply these, I believe we will become the people of God who carry his name well. So here's the first word. It is the word commit. Commit. We need to commit our lives to Jesus every single day. You don't say your vows in a healthy marriage one day and then walk away and forget that you were committed to that person. No, you are committed to them every day. And Jesus is inviting us to commit to a relationship with him, not a casual one, a personal one, a one of love, a one of connection, of where we discover who he is and we carry his name as our identity. And we start out each day just saying, Lord, I commit my life to you. Will you show me how to carry your name today? Just show me how to do it. I want to carry your name well. Now, some of you here, maybe you're just checking Jesus out. And we're so glad you're here. Jesus himself would say to people, just come and see. And there's a time for that, and we're so glad. Hosanna is a place where you can be at all different places on the journey, and you are welcome here. But others of you, it's time. You've been doing this come and see thing for a while, and you're ready to say today, I don't want to think of this as just coming to church or Christianity as a bunch of rules. I want this relationship with Jesus. So maybe today is the day that you commit your life to him and say, I'm going to trust in your power, your authority, your character, your goodness, and I'm going to give my life to you. That's where real life begins. Maybe others of you, maybe you committed to Jesus a long time ago, but somehow you've gotten off track a little bit. You know what? It's okay. Come back on. See, we have a God of grace. What I'm teaching this morning is not about perfection. Only Jesus did it perfectly. I fail daily. This is not about perfection. This is about growing and becoming and learning and discovering and becoming more like Jesus. So this is not about perfection. No condemnation here, no shame. We have a God of grace. Think about Peter for a minute. Peter was one of Jesus' disciples. And he had walked with Jesus. He was one of Jesus' closest friends. But when the rubber met the road, when things got tough and Jesus was on trial, Peter denied Jesus three times. He treated the name of Jesus as though it was meaningless. I do not even know this man. Can you imagine his devastation? But then when Jesus died and he rose again, Peter was one of the first people he called to him. And he said, three times he asked him, Peter, do you love me? Peter, are you in this relationship, this covenant, this relationship with me? Do you love me? He was giving Peter the choice. And Peter said, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And Jesus just responded, then go feed my lambs. Go out and live the life that I would live. Go out and show the world who I am. God restored him. Jesus restored him. So if that's you today, be overjoyed that it's not too late. Just recommit your life today. Jesus, I love you. I'm in this relationship with you, and I'm going to follow you. So we commit our lives to Jesus every day. Number two, we learn. We learn what it means to carry the name of Jesus, to walk in his identity. We learn. These are not natural for us, so we need to practice it together. And we learn what the ways of Jesus are. You know, this fall, I am so excited. We have classes coming. We have small groups. We have Bible studies both here and at our Shakopee campus. Can barely stand it. I'm so excited for fall. Let's commit right now to being part of these, that together we're going to learn what it means to carry the name of Jesus. We're going to learn what does it mean to walk in his authority, to bring his kingdom into the world. What does it mean to bring his character? You know, how do we be countercultural when we go into our jobs? Our culture is, it's all about me. I want to advance. I got to do things to make money. But Jesus came in strength and humility, and he blessed and he served. How do we do this? How do we show who Jesus is? How do we pray in the name of Jesus? You know, do we just do our laundry list, our wish lists, and then tack on, in Jesus' name I pray, as though it's a magic formula? No. That's what the gods of Egypt were for, magic. No. How do we walk and say, God, what is your will? Show me in this relationship what life is, and then teach me, and I pray it in Jesus' name with that authority, how to carry that out. Let's figure out how to do this together. Let's learn together. You know, each week, I love what our communications department has done with this field guide. If you open it up right here, every week are some suggestions for how you can go and live out and learn and practice this commandment. This week's is a challenging one. I encourage you to take a look at it. And when you do, put a little note to us on Facebook. We want to see how our church together is learning these commandments. So we commit, we learn, and then the last thing I want to encourage you to do is trust. Trust in the name of Jesus. I think all of us have something going on in our lives that might be difficult. It could be a small irritant, or it could be really big and hard. But there is something that no matter what happens, no matter what our circumstances are, we choose to trust in the name of Jesus. We say, it doesn't matter what I can see, I'm going to trust God in your power, in your authority, in your character, your love, that you're for me. Because people around us go, what is it with you? I want what you have. Tell me about it. We need to learn to trust in the name of Jesus, in who Jesus is. About a week ago, I had a 24-hour little stint where I had the privilege of meeting or talking with three different women, three different appointments. All of them had been diagnosed with cancer, serious, leukemia, kidney, pancreatic. I mean, we're not talking little issues. And I went to minister to them. But I walked away knowing Jesus better. I felt like I was Moses. I should take my shoes off because I was on holy ground. These were women who were living this out, and they were carrying the name of Jesus well. One of them, she's in a season of waiting. She's waiting for more of the diagnosis. I bet somebody here is waiting for something. Isn't that often a hard season? But in her waiting, she is choosing to trust Jesus, to hold on to him. She's letting her friends know, pray for me. I want to do this well. Help me. I want to trust him through all this, and I want to have victory. The other one, she had just finished chemo, and she was exhausted, and she just said to me, you know, Julia, I love to serve. And she said, I physically can't right now. But she said, but I can pray. And so I can pray. I can serve by praying. So if you have things you want me to pray for, will you let me know? She was a servant like Jesus, humbly, even in the most hardest condition, trusting him and serving him. The third one, she just made me laugh. She had been in quarantine for about 11 days because of her immune system being down. And finally, she was able to put a mask on and walk down the hallway at the hospital. And she looked at me and she said, I couldn't wait to just walk and be with the people and look for anybody who needed the hope in Jesus Christ that I knew. I was like, you're kidding me. It just was amazing to me. She's not afraid. She goes, I know what my eternity is. I know who I'll be with. And she wanted to share and be the presence of Jesus. These women were carrying the name of Jesus well. It's become my deepest desire. God, I want to do this well. I carry your name. I say yes to you. Show me how to do this. So as we close, I just ask you, will you chew on this commandment? If you're saying, gosh or jeepers, that's great. But will you also say, God, show me. Show me how to carry your name well. I don't want to take your name in vain. You've given me your name. Show me how to carry it well. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you are the name above all names. You are so amazing. You are holy. You are good. And we do not have to jump high to reach up to you. No, you've come to us, and you've brought your holiness, and you have given us your name. Lord, I just pray for anyone who is here right now who has never committed their lives to you. Oh, God, may today be the beginning of a new life. And right now in this moment, may they just say yes. And Jesus, for anyone who has felt that they've fallen off the path, oh, thank you for your grace. They are forgiven. Now step back on and go out and feed as lambs. May they just say yes to you. But Lord, will you teach us as a church how to be with a good bullhorn that just amplifies the name of Jesus everywhere we go. Teach us to walk in your kingdom, your authority, your power, your love, your grace, your goodness, your holiness. We love you, Jesus. You are worthy of all of our lives. We give them to you. We pray this all in the mighty and powerful, loving name of Jesus. Amen. Will you please stand now at both campuses for a final blessing? I am so glad you came today. We have a mighty God, and I hope he has touched you in some way. I just want to remind you that we have prayer ministers up front as well as in the back prayer room. They would love to pray with you. Maybe today is a day where you're saying yes and you're committing. They would love to just pray a blessing over you. Maybe you are in a hard season and you want to carry his name well. Let them pray for you, but come for prayer. Now receive this blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you. May he show you who he is and teach you how to carry his name well. And may you go out bringing the kingdom of God everywhere you go. I pray all this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Have a great week. We will see you next week for the fourth commandment.